For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. David Johnston, Logan Booker along with you. And a little James Brown.
It may not be 1973. Actually, what year is this? What did this come out? Are we on the money?
Well,
I play it because I consider it our next guest theme song.
Right.
But we are doing the 1973 theme today, but I think this was more late 70s.
Well, no, yeah, because I think that was in 77. And that was that also coincided with, I guess, was it when Prince Charles came to Athens? So it's one of those where, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what.
There's good and bad from that day, unless I'm tying the wrong dates together, which is very, very possible.
Keep the bad mojo out of Athens. Let's ask Prince Charles to not come back to another football game between the hedges.
Now, the story I Googled said from the when the Dawgs won the SEC championship in 1976, that was the recording of
okay.
it then.
So we are a little bit off.
Yeah.
But we're playing
nope,
it anyway.
Nope, the occasion, halftime of the Georgia homecoming game against Kentucky in 77. Prince Charles was there, and apparently the students were chanting, "Damn good Prince."
Until we lost to Kentucky.
Oh, you know who else was there? Very underrated. Donna Douglas of the Beverly Hillbillies. Ellie Mae.
We were a who's who amongst
wow.
the world celebrities.
Holy cow. We'll get back to that in a moment. Time to bring in our man Brandon Adams from Dawg Nation Daily and DawgNation.com. B.A., good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well. You know, that era of like the pre-Herschel Georgia years is fascinating to me.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a ton of video, at least easily found video, on some of that kind of stuff. And, you know, if you ever see some of it, like the 76 or Sugar Bowl or the Sugar Bowl after the 76 season is on ESPN Classic from time to time. And you can kind of recognize something that looks like the same sort of Georgia fan lore we have now. But
yeah.
It's still a good bit different. I'm really, really fascinated by those like pre-Herschel years. Modern era, but pre-Herschel is kind of an interesting period of Georgia history.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. And that, you know, when Georgia won the SEC championship in 76, they end up losing in the Sugar Bowl to that Pitt team that had Tony Dorsett. So
yeah, good
they're,
team.
You know, just really, really interesting stuff from back then. I always think, too, that you've got this. This is not, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of fan bases like this where there's like there's a lot of Georgia fans that are like, I don't say post Mark Richt, but it's like 2000 to now. And then there's, you know, then there's a different element of the fan base that goes farther back.
Well, I'll also say this, David, as someone who was too young to have seen him play when he actually was a player, to go back and see video of Ray Goff as Georgia's quarterback,
yeah.
He was shockingly good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we think of him now as obviously a former coach, but to go back and see him as a player, he was just a dynamic dual threat, mostly running, but a dual threat quarterback. He was, I would say it again, shockingly good.
No, you're right. I mean, and like you said, and I know Ray and have known him for a long time, and you know, for a lot of folks, he's just remembered as a failed former head coach at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of folks that, you know, remember him as, you know, an SEC player of the year.
That kind of thing, too.
So it's that is interesting that you bring him up. But, yeah, that's kind of where Georgia football is right now. And, by the way, with the way recruiting's going and everything, you know, you feel like Georgia's definitely about to turn that corner. We had Jeff Sintel on with us Friday, and he kind of previewed the weekend that was, you know, coming up for Georgia. Now, we haven't talked to him since, but what, you know, how excited were you? You know, obviously the Kendall Milton stuff, but everything else that happened this weekend with the official visits and everybody that was in town, how would you sum up how things went for Georgia this past weekend?
You know, I'm really no different than anybody else in terms of I'm trying to read tea leaves and kind of look and see, you know, symbolism and decide what it all means. But my takeaway on this is going to be pretty similar to what I'm sure that both of yours is from having followed it closely. I don't see how it could have gone better for Georgia. Now, you say, well, maybe Kendall Milton could have committed right there on the spot. But we knew going into the weekend that wasn't going to be the case. Milton's father has told us they planned on taking all four of these official visits. He's got the Alabama visit now, which will kind of close him out on that. So we kind of knew going into this weekend that a commitment from Milton wasn't really on the table. But in terms of laying the groundwork for what could be a commitment, you know, based on what I've seen other players say, based on what Milton himself has said and what Milton's father has said to Dog Nation, I just don't get the impression that they could have made a stronger impression on Milton than they did. And obviously with recruiting, it's never over till it's over. And, you know, funny, weird things can happen, and Georgia fans will kind of hold their breath until they get some news one way or another. But it looks like that news is somewhat accelerated. He's going to make a decision, you know, here sometime in July, so you don't have to wait too much longer on that. And, you know, I'm not the kind of person that fills out mock classes or does crystal balls or things like that. But if I was, right now it would be hard to predict Milton to land anywhere other than Georgia.
I think as a fan with a microphone is what I describe myself. I think you've kind of alluded sort of similarly to you. I view the Kendall Milton recruitment almost as like I expect him to come here. Anything else will sort of be a major disappointment. But at the end of the day, it is Kendall Milton's decision on what fits best for him. But that being said, I want to take ourselves to a bad place real quick, and let's just say for the sake of conversation, Kendall Milton does not pick Georgia when that time comes. How much of a, air quotes, disaster would that be for this current class, and what would Georgia do next? What is the next step if it were to come to that?
Well, if you're going to use the word disaster, that's where I would say maybe not so much.
Sure.
Because, you know, there are other elite running backs out there. If Milton was the only elite running back kind of on the board, the only one that Georgia was in the mix with, then, yeah, I think disaster is the right word there. In this particular case, just because the relationship seemingly is as strong as it is, it would be a big shock to me. But I do think that Georgia would be able to regroup in a number of ways. You know, we haven't heard about Zachary Evans, at least to my knowledge, his plans to take an official visit to Georgia yet in terms of a date. But I'm assuming that's going to come up at some point in time. I know Jeff Sintel reported in our Dog Nation forum yesterday that Tank Bigsby from down in Hogansville was back on campus for an unofficial visit at Georgia yesterday. So Georgia remains in the mix with other running backs, but pretty clearly Milton's the guy they've targeted above anybody else. Now, I want to be fair and balanced here on something for a moment, because I do think sometimes it's kind of fair to point out when other schools kind of feel the same way. At one point in time, Ohio State felt just as confident about Kendall Milton as Georgia fans probably did. I know some people who are kind of Ohio State insider types, and you know, I see some of their fan conversation. And after Milton took his official visit there, what would have been, I guess, 3 weeks ago now, I think a lot of people in Columbus left that feeling that they were in great shape for Milton at the time, mirroring what Georgia fans had kind of felt themselves. If you look on some of those Ohio State message boards now, though, you start to see a little bit of that softening up a little bit. And some of those Buckeyes fans, I believe, if you look on some of those forums that are publicly available, if you look on some of those forums, they don't quite feel as confident anymore, so much so that I think they're going to get ready to try to host Zachary Evans on a visit. And at one point in time, someone told us on Dog Nation Daily that Ohio State really had no relationship with Evans whatsoever. Now they're going to host him on a visit. My guess is they wouldn't even be doing that if they thought they were still strongly in the mix for Kendall Milton. I think even the people in Columbus now see some pretty strong movement in Georgia's direction on this. We'll have to wait and see if it does play out that way. But sometimes it's the opposition or the opposing fan base that gives you kind of a clue on how things are going for your team. And in this case, what looks to be kind of a sort of a softening expectation for Ohio State when it comes to Kendall Milton, I think would speak to just how strong the impression that Georgia made last weekend was.
Talking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. You can hear Monday through Friday from noon to 1 right here on The Ref.
Another little nugget of Kendall Milton yesterday at DogNation.com. I think your producer Connor wrote about this. I got a good chuckle out of this. Khalil Ringo tweeted out a sort of a comic strip that was put together. I don't know if this is a fan of Alabama or whoever it was, but it's sort of a well-drawn, I'll give them credit for their art skills, of Khalil Ringo and Kendall Milton sort of talking to Kirby Smart. But the point of this is, the way that other fans are sort of taking jabs at Georgia for, oh, your only deficiency is that you don't have the 1980 or you haven't won a championship since 1980. But seeing Kelee Ringo respond to these kind of things on Twitter, tagging Kendall Milton, is this a good or bad thing for Georgia? I mean, like, my point is that these recruits are making fun of these things and sort of in a positive Georgia spin. Am I reading the tea leaves too much on this, or what did you take from that interaction on Twitter?
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair point to bring up. I mean, let me take Ringo here for a moment. You know, the school that would seem to be the most in competition with Georgia for him is probably Texas. And I know Ringo's about to announce his top five finalists, but I think most of the people who follow this closely think it's probably down to Georgia versus Texas for Ringo. Well, Texas has won a national championship much more recently than Georgia, but it was in 2005. Now, if you're an 18-year-old right now, 2005 is also probably before you were paying close attention to what was happening in college football. So, therefore, if it happened before you were, you know, watching, if it happened before you were, you know, not before you were born necessarily, but before you were really, you know, paying any attention to this kind of stuff whatsoever, then in the mind of Kelee Ringo, I don't know that there's that much difference between 2005 and 1980. That may seem like, you know, spin zone type stuff, but I do truly believe for these recruits, if it happened before they were paying attention, it might as well have happened in the black and white era. You know, I think for Logan, you and me, who, you know, proclaim to be fans, Dave, as well, you know, if a fan who's won national championships more recently wants to, you know, kind of rib us about that and kind of use that as a little good-natured trash talk back and forth with us, that probably works on us pretty well because we do remember these years. We remember some of the disappointment for Georgia. But for Ringo or Milton or players like that, you know, this is all deep into the past for them anyway. Now, Clemson and Alabama, who've won championships more recently, you know, they are using that. If you saw the picture of a Rick Gilbert, the five-star tight end, on the Alabama campus this past weekend, he tweeted out himself a picture holding the 2017 national championship. So for those programs who've won these things really recently, they're trying to use that to their advantage. There's some evidence that's probably working. But for these programs who've won more recently than Georgia, but not within the last 10 to 15 years, I'm not quite so sure that's a huge advantage on the recruiting trail because most of the recruits were too young to have been paying attention then anyway.
Talking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily, Monday through Friday from noon to 1, right here on 960 The Ref. Of course, you can catch the show when Brandon does it live every morning at 10 a.m., and you can catch that just about, what, 100 different places? Is that right?
Yeah, just about. Yeah. We're trying to slowly be on every possible platform. And, of course, among our favorites is right here on the radio in Athens on 960 The Ref.
Well, B.A., you talked a little bit yesterday about the word domination. And wanted to get some more thoughts on. I know this is that time of year where we look ahead. We try to predict a little bit. And I think it was one of your colleagues, was it Connor Riley? Logan will have to help me on this. One of the would-you-rathers for Georgia football. What was the one, Logan, about the sacks?
I think it was like, would you take 40 sacks? Or I'm going to have to pull this up. There was
yeah,
another one.
It was the sacks versus something that I thought was an interesting, like, would-you-rather in a story that Connor had written.
Sure.
And
well, I think that's... Go ahead, David.
Oh, I was just saying, do you remember what it was specifically? Logan's looking it up, but we've gotten into a conversation about
says,
that.
Would you rather have a Heisman Trophy finalist or the defense put up 40-plus sacks?
Oh, okay.
So that's a tough would-you-rather because, obviously, the Heisman has become kind of a best player in the best team type awards. That's probably a pretty good sign for Georgia if they have somebody in New York City, whether he wins the award or not. But I do believe that 40-sack number, though, to go back to David's initial point about domination and what has kind of been, with all due respect, a lack of domination for the Georgia defense under Kirby Smart. Statistically, they've been good, and at least one year in 2017, they were quite good, but they haven't quite been great. The teams that have ranked above them in some of the advanced metrics data are teams like Clemson, Alabama, who've won national championships, and 2017 Auburn, 2018 LSU, two teams that beat Georgia. You know, those are some of the teams that have, statistically speaking, been better defenses in those years. It may even be a surprise to some fans to find that out, that really in 2017, 2018, the last two SEC East winners for Georgia, statistically speaking, Georgia offensively was much better than it was defensively. In 2016, it's probably the opposite of that, but that also wasn't a great Georgia team necessarily. So I think when you hear David Pollack use that word, can this defense get back to dominating? He said that to a Mike Griffith in a piece for DogNation.com. When you go back and hear Kirby Smart at the start of the last two seasons, basically to lay that out as his standard for the program. We want to dominate our opponents. I do think sacks are a big part of that. I think being rock solid against the run is a big part of that. Georgia was not rock solid against the run last year. Whether you look at the old school metrics where they were like 31st in the country in total rushing yards allowed, or some of the more new school analytical bented metrics where they were kind of outside the top 50. This is a Georgia team that has sometimes been pretty good at limiting big plays, sometimes been pretty good at limiting points scored, but in terms of allowing people to move the football, maybe not quite as dominant as Kirby Smart would like for this team to be. And if they're going to get over the hump and win this national championship this year, then I think that's a key component of this. Can they absolutely thwart the will of their opponents defensively? I know that's what Kirby wants to do. And I think with upgraded talent, there's no doubt this is the deepest defensive roster that Kirby's coached. I think with upgraded talent, that's certainly a possibility. But it's fair to point out the last 2 years, Georgia's probably stopped just short of doing that.
Brandon, speaking of would you rathers, I have to ask you the question.
I was hoping this would come up.
We had a little bit of fun on our show yesterday morning. We accidentally went viral. We had no plans of that. I'll say this first. I've heard you say on your show, Dog Nation Daily, before that you would not hold a snake for anything. There's basically nothing that can entice Brandon Adams to hold a snake. I fully understand that. But our question yesterday was very silly. It's, would you take a non-lethal gunshot wound to the thigh if it guaranteed that Georgia football will win the national championship this year? So I now turn the mic over to you, Brandon. What is your take on this poll we put out there?
Yeah, I apologize to Georgia fans for this, but I can't take a bullet for a championship. I'd love to be able to say I'll be the martyr. I'll be the one that takes this, as the Sopranos once said, in the fleshy part of the thigh. I'll be the one to do this. But that is not something I'm going to be able to do on behalf of Dog Nation here. I kind of joked about this on my show that I'm not letting you break the skin for anything. I'm not letting you give me a non-lethal puncture wound. I'm not doing anything like that. Is there a chance I would do something that wouldn't require, like, you know, basically a contusion, you know, or what is it, like, you know, some sort of stab wound or gunshot wound, so something that draws blood? Is there would I consider doing that? Maybe so. Would I let, you know, Deontay Wilder punch me in the arm? You know, I might do that. I might even consider a punch to the gut. Certainly knows you certainly know I've got plenty of coverage down there to hopefully soften that blow. But I can't take a gunshot wound. What? I can't take any kind of, like, stab wound or anything like that.
I just don't believe.
I think I'd probably go into cardiac arrest, unfortunately.
I'll give you this thing, because I know how passionate you are about your Georgia Bulldogs. I admire that greatly about you. What if they would guarantee they'd win the national championship, but, B.A., you could not watch a second of the season, and you can never even go back and watch the highlights from it?
So if that was the only way it could happen, I would take that deal. If we live in this sort of magical portal and this is truly my deal with the supernatural, that is a deal I would probably take, because while I would never be able to watch the game and wouldn't have a chance to experience that, I would get to experience the year's worth or decades worth or really a lifetime's worth of, you know, discussion from other people. And really, when you do this kind of stuff for a living, I know this is going to sound corny, and I apologize, but when you do this stuff for a living, you know, it's really other people's enjoyment of the team and other people's enjoyment of the experience that ends up being the most fun part of this. And I'm lucky in my job that I get to talk to Georgia fans every day, and seeing them happy would be kind of enough for me, I guess. And as I said, I know that kind of sounds corny, but that is probably the deal that I would make there.
Well, I guess you'd probably never pay for a drink in Athens again after that. So there is
that's
there
exactly
is that.
Right.
There
yeah, is that I'll be the one that chose not to watch, so everybody else could enjoy.
B.A., what do you got cooking for the show today?
You know, we're going to talk a little bit about DeAndre Swift, and really even beyond him. I was a little bit interested to see, when you look at, you know, the two competitors for Georgia, Alabama and Clemson, they were actually a little bit better in one area than I thought a year ago. I think that speaks to not only what Swift's going to do this year, but some of what's going to happen around Swift. We're going to talk a little bit about that on the program today, and a little more on running back recruiting here too.
Good stuff. Can't wait to hear it. Enjoy the show as always. We appreciate you, and have a great rest of the week.
No, I'll talk to you guys later on. Thanks so much.
Thanks, right. B.A.
Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, You're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.